Please state your name and your organization.
John Pricing with FAO Peru.
Okay, please provide some background on your organization and what your role in these country exchanges was.
Okay, very good. FAO is dedicated to eradicating hunger around the world, and specifically we have five objectives that try to achieve that. And within that we have the idea of strengthening and improving rural institutions as part of an important area in which to strengthen. So for FAO, working with extension systems is a way of improving rural institutions that serve family farmers for the most part. And so with the exchanges, FAO participated first at the kind invitation of MEAS and the University of Illinois. We participated in the workshops that were held in Montevideo, Uruguay. And that led, as you know, to the exchanges being proposed. And so me, as the FAO representative in Peru, I tried to work to support or foment the exchange occurring with Peru. And the exchange with Peru is between Peru and Mexico. And it took a few months to get it really cemented and down, but eventually the Mexican government officials, four people came, not just from the government, also from CIMIT, which is the research institution in Mexico, the global research institution based in Mexico for cereals and maize. And anyways, and wheat, I should say, don't leave wheat out. Anyways, they came and they talked about the programs in Mexico, some of their outstanding experiences in Mexico and some of the private extension delivery systems and very decentralized extension delivery systems, but also for the goal to try and reach more small farmers, which is a change from maybe in the past with Mexico, with Segarpa and their extension system. And from Peru's side, they talked quite a bit about their focus on the smallest farmers and using competitive funded projects as a way to deliver extension, but also a great interest in improving the quality of the individual extensionists. And in Peru, it's unique that they have a large network of rural promoters who are sort of the front line, and then the extensionists or some other ministry or technical people are behind them supporting them. So this program called Yachachis was also shared. So I think between the two countries, I learned quite a bit about different models, and they were able to take some messages home, and they also promised for some future work together.
Okay. What are some lessons learned from the planning and implementation part of this process? Just organizing cross-country exchanges.
Yeah. Well, the first message is it's not easy at all. Particularly, for example, let's say if it was just a USAID office to another USAID office, or maybe FAO to FAO, it would be probably more easy to get done, I think. But in this case, there are individual ministries who have their own full-time agenda going on. They have a lot of interest in exchanges and professional development through that, but it's hard to always have a key person, a champion, say, within each system who's high enough up. And one challenge is sometimes in events like the one we're at today or the one that was in Uruguay, a person's there, and so that person becomes a spokesperson for the country's programs, but they don't always come, let's say, empowered to actually act and implement. They're the person who ended up going that day. And so that's a bit of a challenge. In other cases, it's the exact person you need to pull it off. So I say that's one thing, is to be mindful of who the right champion is. And I think keeping it simple, at least in terms of the logistics, is important. I think once the exchange occurs, the knowledge and so forth is sufficient to have a really rich exchange, but the logistics tend to be the more complicated aspect of it. And then the other thing, maybe we could help, when I say we, I mean MAES and the others involved with promoting exchanges, by giving a bit more of a framework to some of the exchanges themselves. Say, for example, before a group goes, what are your top three goals? What are the things you're going to do? Because I think afterwards, the wrap-up reports were well-structured and were useful. But I think we could have been a bit more deliberate. When I say we, I mean not just MAES, but FAO, since I was involved with the one that took place, a bit more deliberate in the planning of the days themselves. Although, having said that, in the case of Peru and Mexico, I think it worked well. They had some really intense dialogues, and they had 120 people in the program discussions, and a lot of great, I think, information was shared and some new ideas, and finally, maybe some motivation to do more.
Where do you think that motivation would come from?
Well, I think that like an event like here today, there's just a lot of energy. People are excited to know other people like them are out there. It's like Martians meeting each other somehow. They know there are other people like them working in the same things with some similar problems. I mean, everyone's contexts are different, which maybe helps provide opportunities for new ideas or new solutions. Because if, let's say, like in Colombia, they're plagued by violence in certain areas, but they still manage to do extension. In other areas, maybe it's very dry and they can't seem to focus on productive activities the way they should. But when these two areas combine their experiences, perhaps there's a new idea about how to work better in areas where conflict may be occurring, or how to work better in areas where there's not enough water. So I think the exchanges produce new ideas, and I think that motivates people. So I think the exchanges themselves generate some spark.
Okay, what are some of the areas that were strengthened in each country extension system? You don't have to say all of them, but maybe give a couple examples. And how do you think this might affect future public and private led extension efforts in Latin America?
Very good. Well, let me say the mere act of deciding you have something to share and to show, and also the vehicle that was provided through the MEA support, I think generated some spark and some leadership and enthusiasm. In the case of Mexico, it was the most clear, where they had a new team coming into the Mexican extension leadership, and they seized upon this as an opportunity to show what they had, but also to learn. And Roxana Aguirre, one of the people who are heavily involved in this, she is going to announce today that Mexico is going to be the next host for the RELASER conference. And that's pretty exciting. And she comes with the message from the secretary of SEGARPA, which is like USDA, let's say, with this message that they want to be active in the partnerships, and they want to learn, and they want to share. So that's a very concrete example I might mention. And I think there's other examples. Say, for example, in Chile, where they had this great experience on professional competencies, which other people wanted to learn about, is very much a technical thing. Whereas in the case of Mexico, it was everything and enthusiasm for changing and moving forward. In the case of Mexico, there's very specific skill on professional competencies and what extensionists need. I think that was it was sharpened because they had to present it to somebody else, and then the sharing was very well received.
How do you think the extension agencies or organizations benefited overall from these exchanges? And again, if you have an example, that'd be good.
Well, let me say that I think the MEAS initiative came at the right time. RELASER has been around for about 5 years, and we need vehicles by which we can grow and change and share. And so this opportunity, which started, of course, with the Spring Institute, if I'm not sure if that's what we called it in Uruguay, the Spring Institute, I guess it's been on the seasons of the year. The Spring Institute was kind of like a springboard for that. And so when the exchanges themselves took place, it helped, I think, RELASER raise its visibility and its relevance across several countries. And many people here today participated in the exchanges, and they shared, obviously, the results of the exchanges. So I think it dovetailed and complemented the efforts of RELASER to become more vibrant, more relevant, and have something more concrete to share. And so we have very concrete experiences. And I think one thing that maybe as a follow-up is, I know we've got some summaries of what's happened. There's a couple left to be done, but I think we should, personally, I think we should package this in a way that sells it as a, not sells it, but promotes it as a learning tool instrument for improving extension, which I think it is. So, and as you know, it was fairly low cost, and in a certain way, other than the trips, most of the costs were borne by the countries. So these people going for 4 or 5 days, preparing beforehand, writing up follow-up reports, etc., and then some of them who have already acted upon their reports. I mean, we leveraged a lot out of a small amount of resources, I'd say.
That's what Marisa was saying. That's pretty cool. Okay, what linkages have formed as the result of the exchanges just across, kind of across boundaries?
Well, I mean, individual countries' extension systems and their leaders got to know each other. When we have these meetings here, you can see a hodgepodge. There's some directors of extension here for certain, but there's also field-level technicians, and there's public and private groups, and it's all good. It's exactly what it's meant to be. However, when these exchanges occur, it always kicks it up a little bit, because a country is officially sending a delegation somewhere, and a country is officially receiving a delegation. So I think it makes it a bit more serious, a discussion, a bit more with a better foundation and a base. And, you know, it could be better and stronger and so forth, but I think it does promote that kind of higher level engagement of discussions of extension policy, extension capacity building, and so forth.
And what do you think was most useful about the exercise?
Well, I think I'd say a couple things. One of them is that, okay, each country had to say, what do I have to offer? What do I specifically want to learn? And that's different than just being open to everything. So I think the country, both countries had to say, what do I really have to offer that I think is unique and strong about my system? And secondly, what can I really learn, what do I really want to learn? Because, you know, these two groups are going to be together for 2 or 3 days and are going to spend, you know, weeks in advance perhaps planning it, and then afterwards there's follow-up. So I think, not forcing, but promoting a concentration of effort was very useful. And then secondly, I think it encouraged groups to have follow-up activities. It wasn't sufficient just to be done and we did it. I know in the case of Mexico and Peru, which I know, you know, best, that it's actually serving to promote some professional exchanges and sort of scholarships where mostly in this case Mexico is willing to receive and pay the costs for Peruvian extension professionals to come to Mexico, get to know the system better. And so I think, and at the other level, there was an offer made to provide scholarships, both short and long term, for Peruvian ag students who also participated the couple days where we were together. And I think those are both very concrete things that are going to happen in the future as a result.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, John.